I'm Caroline. I am a postdoc in the CTE, the Center for Teaching Excellence at UVA, and I'm here with Carolyn Schuyler, who's a trauma therapist and a visiting scholar at UVA. Carolyn, we've been talking about how professors and other instructors, grad students, anybody who's teaching, might respond to an incident or crisis in the community that affects their students. And one of my impulses when I'm doing this in my classroom is to create opportunities for students to connect with each other.
Yes.
But the thing that gets in the way for me is I have a lot of anxiety about opening up conversations or disclosures that the class is not able to contain. You know, I have worries about confidentiality. I have worries about other students feeling triggered or overwhelmed by the things that people are sharing. And I also worry about students feeling pressured to share something when they don't want to. So I'm wondering what you think might be some good approaches to creating opportunities for students to connect after a tragedy without running into some of the problems that I just described.
So I so appreciate that feeling of wanting to offer an opportunity for students to connect and to feel support from one another while making sure that it really is safe. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm hearing is your main concern.
Yeah, that's a good description of it.
So, and safe for you too, as an instructor, and not feeling like you're getting out of a comfort zone. So it is a really good impulse to try to think about how to help the students connect, because that is such a basic need, and there's so much evidence that when people feel that they're in a network of social support and in a community, it really does help people move out of the symptoms that sometimes happen in an acute situation.
Okay.
So it is a best practice to try to build community, and it does need to be done in a thoughtful way. And I really appreciate how you mentioned that I don't want to put students in a position where they have to share things or talk about things that they don't want to talk about, and that's a really important evidence-based concern because there is evidence that forcing people to talk about their feelings can actually interfere with a natural healing process. Whereas if people want to talk about their feelings and they're not able to, that's also a problem. So there is a lot to think about here. So I'm going to give you a suggestion of one activity, and maybe you can tell me how it sounds.
Okay, that sounds good.
What kind of problems you might imagine or what kind of opportunities you might see here. So one of the things that builds support is that sense of we're in this together.
Mm-hmm.
So an activity that might build that feeling of we're in this together is to ask everyone to just get a little piece of paper. Maybe they have a notebook, they can rip it off, or you can pass out a little piece of paper, and ask them to write a well wish that they have for the entire class. And you might want to model that to give them an idea. So it might be, I wish that everyone would be in touch with someone that makes them feel really cared for right now. Or I wish the people that are suffering the most from this incident would really feel the love and support of the larger community around them. Or I wish that something like this would never happen again on our campus. I mean, it really could be anything.
Yeah.
And so you ask everyone to just write it and then ball it up and you put it in a bowl. You might have to have multiple bowls if your class is really huge. And then you ask people to draw another. And then read somebody else's statement. Now, if you have a class of 300, you're obviously not going to spend hours listening to these.
Yeah.
So you might have a few students ask for some volunteers to come and read a selection of them.
Okay.
Or you might say, we're going to read a selection, but all of you please take home the one that you have.
Oh, okay.
And really see that as a gift from your classmates.
Yeah.
And you can use this as a reminder. This could be a platform to say that there are a lot of people that care about you at this university. And these are the spaces where you can go to connect, to remind them of their resources, to remind them of your availability if you want to offer that up. So I think it's a really contained way of communicating a lot of what we want students to be able to receive at a time like this.
Yeah, I like that idea, and I like that it is usable in different sizes of classrooms, and it doesn't really put people on the spot because no one is having to say their own thing.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. That one sounds good. Do you have another idea?
Sure. So one thing that I often think about is, in times like this, giving people a moment to just really notice what is going on in this moment.
Mm.
How do you feel right now? And you can do that with journaling.
Mm.
So you could invite everyone just to sit for a minute, just to write how are you doing, just right now in this moment in this class, just how are you, and write for a couple of minutes. And if that doesn't feel of interest to you, you can doodle. Everything is optional. It's
yeah.
so important to give choice in this kind of a moment.
Why is that?
Choice, if you think about it, if there's been a traumatic incident, people are not feeling a lot of control.
Mm-hmm.
People are feeling like things are being disrupted and that there isn't a lot of choice about how things happen. So to give that little bit of choice is empowering to people. And also, people are going to have such a wide range of needs. There might be some people that really don't have the bandwidth to
mm-hmm.
be journaling right now. They just want to sit and take deep breaths.
Okay.
And it's so honoring to also suggest that you know better than I do what you need.
Yeah.
And that's a really important message to give to everybody. So to let students actually journal for a little bit is giving them a message that your internal world matters.
Okay.
And so after you've done that, you could actually pause for a moment and say, you know, I'm really curious, when you look at what you've written about how you're doing right now, I would love if there's some people that feel comfortable just sharing what kind of needs are coming up.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the needs that you think students, it doesn't even have to be about yourself, but just what kind of needs do you think students are having in the community right now? And so the people that do want to talk can raise their hand. And this is true in any class. There's usually only a few people that raise their hand for things.
Yeah.
So there'll be a few people that raise their hand, and they might say, well, I think we need to have more opportunity to gather in small groups, or I think the school really needs to let us know that they're going to waive, make everything pass fail.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who knows what's going to come up. And you don't have to evaluate what's said.
Okay.
You just say, I'm so glad to hear where you're all at. And I hope that you will carry these conversations out to your friend groups and to other settings where you will know that your feelings and your needs are really important right now. So the point of this exercise really is to send the message that your needs and your emotions matter.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think about it, you've done it in a very contained way, and you've invited them to continue the conversation elsewhere, so it doesn't end up being something that you feel is unmanageable in your own setting.
Okay. And what if students are having really visible emotional reactions to what has happened? Like somebody's crying,
mm-hmm.
they leave the room, or they're asking me specifically for things that I can't give them. Because I have a lot of trouble with that with students when they're saying, we really need this from the university, and we really want this in our classes. And even though I know it's not true that I'm responsible for all of that, it's
mm-hmm.
it's hard to respond to somebody asking for something with, I can't give that to you. So do
right,
you have any advice
moment,
for that?
So I can see how inviting them to say the needs
yeah.
could be a little bit anxiety producing. Well, one of the things that you can always say is, you know, that really gives me something to think about.
Mm.
And you can reflect on it, and you can say, I'd like to, I mean, maybe we can talk about that some more, and I'd be really happy to do that in office hours or something
mm-hmm.
like that. So that's one answer depending on what's said. Another one, sometimes people say things that are impossible, that you just cannot do. You can always say, I wish that were possible.
Yeah.
And it pains me that that's not something that's like, someone might say, I wish the school were redesigned so we weren't so vulnerable to these kinds of events. Well, that's not going to happen in any short time frame. But we can always say to people, that's a valid, I really hear why you're feeling that way. I think that's probably shared by a lot of people. If it's true for you, you can offer that up. And you can always say, I really wish that would happen. I think we sometimes feel a lot of pressure to fix things.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be powerful modeling that it's enough to just hold something with compassion and to really listen and hear. And when you can really internalize that your gift of truly seeing and not having to dance immediately to a solution or to a defensive stance, that is actually the most healing thing we can do for each other.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yeah. Those best practices are really useful. And I'm wondering if you have anything, if you know or can talk about anything that we definitely should not be doing with our students in class after tragedy, especially related to like them sharing things or connecting with each other.
Well, I think you definitely don't want to have a situation where people don't feel they have choice.
Okay.
So you and so you might have a class where you're very clear that some students want to talk about things that have happened while other students just want to move on.
Mm-hmm.
And you really could divide up the room.
Okay.
You could really say, I'm going to offer this opportunity. We're going to do an activity over here where people are going to have a chance to reflect on how they're feeling. We'll have a little bit of a debriefing in a very contained way. And then we're going to have this other side of the room where people are invited to work on your project or whatever could be self-directed, and allow people to do that. I think it's challenging when you do an activity that could potentially be something that someone is not ready for, and it's not clear how to opt out, and that can be very awkward for a student. Like if you start having an open discussion about something that someone's really not ready for, it may be really difficult to be that one person that stands up and walks out of the room. So if you are gonna have a conversation and you feel like your class is close enough and that probably could go well and that you feel like you know what the guardrails are, just make sure that you share the pathway to opting out.
Okay.
So you might say, I expect that some of you may really just want to have a breather during this. This may not be the right activity for you. You're still an incredibly important part of this class. So to opt out, like I'm gonna suggest that if you'd like to go out to the courtyard and just relax there, and we will come and let you know. Like you give them the pathway.
Okay.
So they don't have to forge it themselves, because that can be very, very awkward. And also too, I think if you feel strongly that you want to have an opportunity for students to communicate with each other, you would let them know that in an email before class, so that they could potentially give you feedback or opt out. And the other thing I'm thinking about is it's always important to remember that we can collaboratively plan with our students.
Mm.
That if your classroom allows this, it's not too huge a room, you could say, these are some of the things I'm thinking about that might be useful for us during this class. And I'm really curious which of these sound like they might be useful, or if people have other ideas. That's a really okay thing to do. And then if you want to do breakouts to accommodate different needs, you can do that.
Okay, yeah. When you say guardrails on these activities, can you give some examples of what you mean by that?
I think you want to have guardrails so that people know that they're not going to be put into a position where they're expected to respond or to do something that doesn't feel within their comfort zone.
So all the things you said about choice.
Right, that people know that they can decide what they want to share, if anything at all, and that they shouldn't be made to feel like they have to participate just because everybody else is participating.
Okay. What about, like, telling students about what is appropriate and not, the kind of things it's appropriate and not appropriate to share if we're doing sharing? Like, how would you communicate that?
I actually don't know that I would recommend having a very open-ended, let's talk a lot about what you're experiencing, because sometimes people are flooded during crisis situations and it's very difficult to know what is appropriate to share, and it can be very difficult to see someone sharing what they normally wouldn't share, knowing that it actually isn't safe for them.
Okay.
So I think you probably don't want to invite a lot of open-ended processing in general.
Okay.
But I think it's okay, like if you, like the need exercise that I said, it's clear you're talking about the whole community, just one sentence. And you try to you model something that makes it clear that it's kind of not meant to dive deeply into personal experience. And I think there's a lot of different kinds of activities that you can do, like the writing the need statement. Mm-hmm. You can use that idea of people writing something and reading other people's, and or asking a subset of students that have expressed an interest to come up and be part of a panel to share their observations about what they think builds community right now. You can give prompts that are gonna take people into a direction that's strength-based and less likely to dive into personal narrative. So like that prompt I just suggested, you could have a whole conversation about what do you think is going to help the community come together right now?
Yeah.
What do you think from what you've seen in the past is really important for us to remember?
That makes sense. Okay.
And what are our values?
Yeah.
How can we affirm our values? That might be another thing to write on a paper. What are the core values that you feel are really important to assert that you want to stand on right now in this time?
Mm-hmm.
And have everybody read the values that they have.
Yeah. Okay. Is there anything else you think we should know about trying to do, like, community building responses to a crisis?
I guess one of the things that you said, I don't know if I fully responded to when you were saying that, what do you do if you see someone that really is in distress, if they're crying or they walk out? I think it's really important to remember that, you know, strong emotion is okay.
Mm-hmm.
We're just not used to having it in the classroom.
Yeah, and we're taught a lot that we're not supposed to,
right.
Especially like academics. I feel like that's messaging
yeah.
we get all the time.
And
it's unprofessional,
it's
inappropriate.
It's just not part of the academic culture. So for us just to remember that emotions come in waves,
mm-hmm.
and if we can just model that emotions, that we can stay grounded when they happen, and it isn't a crisis situation if someone in the classroom is crying, and we can say just something really reassuring. We don't have to pretend it's not happening.
Yeah.
I remember in one of my classes there was a student that was visibly distraught and disclosed to the group that there had been a tragedy in her own life, and there was a temptation just to keep moving with class, but I stopped and I put my hand on my heart and I just said, I just want you to know I see you right now, and you know that your feelings are important to me and that we're here with you.
Yeah.
And then it did move on.
Okay, yeah.
So it's okay to actually just notice someone in a moment and look at them with your compassionate face and just say, I just want you to know that I really see you. If it's obvious, like you don't necessarily want to call someone out if you're the only one that sees them
right.
crying. But if it's obvious to everybody, in this case it was for me because she had shared something.
Yeah.
I think it's really okay to acknowledge it. And if someone runs out of the class, you know, chances are they're fine.
Yeah.
You know, that doesn't have to be a crisis situation, that they're either going to go sit somewhere and come back and you can follow up later to make sure they're okay. And you might say to the students, you know, I will be following up with the students. So I want you to know that this is something that I'm going to take seriously.
Okay.
That's
yeah.
something you could say in that situation. That's probably pretty unusual, but all of these are just examples of, you know, reminding ourselves that we don't have to be perfect and that we can just continue to show our care and do our best to follow up. And somehow I think the intention takes the day, you know, that people will walk away with knowing that that was where your heart was and that's helpful.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. I think we should wrap up there because
okay.
that's a nice ending. Thank you.
Thank you.